It's Wednesday, January 24th, and you've had a day or two to digest the shocking news, Jason Kidd out as Bucks head coach. What does it all mean? This is also part of a wild time in the NBA right now. The Vikings were embarrassed in the NFC Championship game. They will not have a chance to bring it home. And the Patriots, they just keep making Super Bowls. We got some big, fat, juicy Brewers rumors to go through as well. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap and the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Very nice podcast. Mitch on the ones and twos. How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm great. I couldn't be better.
You did seem like you had quite a pop in your step for being a Tuesday night driving in tonight. And
yeah.
We all know why. We're going to talk.
The skies have opened up a little bit. And
yep, absolutely. We're definitely going to talk about that. Like I said, like Mitch said, you can find us on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, SnowTapWI. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play for my Android friends. So that was added last week. Daily Tap every day that we're not doing this. So we'll have another one coming up for Thursday. So look for that. And yeah, we got a lot to talk about. You'd think that the week prior to the Super Bowl, that kind of that in-between week, you would kind of, it's just sort of a week to catch your breath and a week to sort of be like, okay, you're not going to get any data with Super Bowl hype. You're just going to maybe talk a little bit about football, and talk about the day-to-day grind of the NBA and everything like that. Nope. Didn't happen that way. Monday afternoon, Jason Kidd gets fired. There are literally breaking news NBA stories all over the place. It is wild.
It's wild, yeah. And I mean, do you think the Bucks planned it that way?
About to fire him before the
Well, because it was just weird to fire him right before a game.
Yes, that was strange. But I think our friend and former host Noel Murphy made the comment that the Cavs did that before a game, and then they had like 3 days off. So I think a part of it was the 3 days off, so that when the team came in to work today and did light workout, light stretching, that Prunty was the front and center. And mm-hmm. It wasn't like they had to react to coaching change. They already did that. They've already gone through it. It was a normal day besides their coach getting fired.
Yeah.
So now they start afresh today, and then in practice on Wednesday and Thursday. And today is probably the day where we could expect to hear from Giannis, as I would imagine the Bucks are practicing and Giannis would practice obviously battling some knee soreness. But
he's supposed to be back, so.
But yes, and the plan, I think, to have Giannis not be there, I think I wrote this, I think, on Monday. But I really start to believe that Wes Edens got a final look at Kidd's roster, Kidd himself, on Saturday night, and he basically made the call then. And when they fell apart in the fourth quarter, he's like, okay, John, go ahead. Pull the trigger. Let's talk a little bit about it on Sunday, but let's make a decision on Monday and go forward. You're right. And this is the move that needs to be made.
Yeah, it's shocking. I mean, I don't know. You know, it was just kind of like, what? You know, type of thing. Like, wow, I can't believe they did it. I kind of thought that as much as everybody saw and as much of kind of as a punchline Jason Kidd had become this season.
Yep.
With definitely in Milwaukee, and it was becoming it was getting to the point where everyone NBA, every NBA Twitter, everybody knew he was a bad coach.
Yeah.
He seemed to be holding the team back, and they weren't responding to him, and even himself, he was saying weird things. That game on Wednesday after the Miami game, where he said, "There's pretty much nothing I can do anymore." That he must have known. He must have had a really good idea at that point.
So do you buy into the kind of conspiracy theory that Kidd was trying to get himself fired? That
maybe.
Kidd sabotaged his job for the last 3 weeks? Like,
I don't think anything could be thrown out with Jason Kidd.
Right. Bart Winkler of 105.7 The Fan asked that to Gary Wolfel, and Gary said that's out there. I mean, so and that is I think you're right. Anything with Jason Kidd, because Jason Kidd's been known to go off the radar. He's a sneaky loose cannon in NBA history of doing just bizarre shit that doesn't make sense. He's burned bridges everywhere he's went.
Yep.
That's why we're getting the Jason Kidd rehab tour in the next coming days. Of that, they're gonna, a lot of national media is gonna paint the picture that Bucks were dysfunctional. Now, I think the Bucks did a good job of getting out to Sports Illustrated and saying, like, hey, look, we thought about firing this guy at the end of last season. We thought about just washing our hands.
Well, and if you remember, I know Brian Windhorst did have that right after the season last year, that, you know, keep an eye out that Jason Kidd could be, he's not necessarily comfortable.
So let's maybe go back to that moment and think about how the GM search ended muddy. And let me just provide an alternate theory, alternate reality. Could it have been that they were going to hire Justin Zanuck, but Justin Zanuck said, I'm not taking this job unless Jason Kidd's not the coach.
Yep.
And they just couldn't part ways.
They weren't ready to get rid of him yet.
Like, fuck it, I'm out. I don't want to deal with this. And that's how they ended up to Horst, because Zanuck was their guy 100% all the way. And he maybe came in last minute. Maybe originally he had said, yeah, I'm going to work with Jason. I can't make any promises. I have some reservations. And then realized, like, no, I don't want Jason's paws anywhere near this. Screw this guy. I want to do my own thing.
Yeah, that could have been what it was.
I literally pulled that from my brain, like, and just thought about it, because sort of makes sense now. If you start to piece this together,
the timeline,
it's one big puzzle, and it's like, and figure out little intricacies of that is perfect, and that could explain. And I think John Horst has done a fine job. I mean, jury's still out. He has a long way to go.
Yeah,
but fact of the matter is you know, that kind of started it. And then you're like, okay, Kidd, is Kidd going to be the mouthpiece still? And some of the moves made by John Horst, like getting rid of Gary Payton and getting rid of DeAndre Liggins as guys that became Kidd guys, were, you know, I thought were really telling about John Horst trying to gain that power struggle. And I think he got it at the end of the day.
I think if anything, this shows more competence to the Bucks organization.
Yes.
Than probably we've seen in a year.
Absolutely.
The last calendar year or so, you know, that it shows that John Horst does have some power. I thought I saw somewhere that Hammond made sure it was worked into Horst's contract where he had some power. You know what I mean?
Right.
And who knows? Horst seems to have been making the right moves so far. The Bledsoe trade has obviously worked out. He's been good. And then you find out that, you know, he had the quote before Monday night's game that if something's inevitable, why wait? Which means that, and I know he also did say that it wasn't premeditated and all that. It kind of came quickly, but I don't know if I believe that. I mean, I think your Zanuck theory is probably certainly possible, plausible for sure. He probably, you know, said all the right things all the way. And then when push came to shove, he was like, I'm not dealing with this guy. And the Bucks upper management just wasn't, you know, the ownership group wasn't ready to part ways with Jason yet. Horst, they obviously pulled Horst from, you know, the low levels of the front office, and Horst, you know, agreed to go on with it. And I'm sure that as the season went on, as the wheels started to fall off a bit, you know, they haven't played very well lately. No. The last January's been rough.
They haven't won back-to-back games since December 28th and December 29th.
Right.
They haven't won three straight games since early December.
Yeah. So they've been wildly inconsistent, losing to some teams they had. I think as this month has gone on, and probably since Christmas, you know, that's when things started to heat up underneath Jason Kidd. Excuse me. So, and then finally, like you said, I think that was good. I thought of that too. Edens was at the game Saturday. They interviewed him on TV, and, you know, he got obviously a front row seat to another, you know, lackluster game where
they put 14 points up in the fourth quarter. And that's the other thing. It's like, just things weren't changing. Nothing was making an adjustment. I actually thought this was great. And I don't think Stan Johnson, Marquette's head assistant coach, this was not a shot at Kidd. He kind of just does quotes, you know, kind of what coaches do on Twitter. Yeah. But he had this. Great teams and organizations reach their potential because the leader has a growth mindset. In parentheses, they pull for all their players / employees, but allow competition to determine who gets what. Poor teams have a fixed mindset, leader determines who gets what, regardless of production and potential. And I'm like, that's exactly what happened with the Bucks. They had a fixed mindset. Jason Kidd did not let anyone get in his way. And then and I provided this theory, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on Daily Tap on Monday. Guys can go back and listen to it, or Tuesday, excuse me. I said that the whole thing with Jabari Parker, whether it was fractured, whether it was not, that I think there was a legit worry from Horst that Kidd was going to bury Parker on the bench and Parker was only going to get 15 minutes, and that Horst would A, not have a good evaluation of Parker, but B, he would, you know, drive Jabari away from this organization.
Which there's obviously plenty of, I don't know if there's really reports, but there's a lot of speculation that Jabari, especially without getting the contract extension, that he was a little, you know, turned off by the organization type of thing. There was some stuff came out that he, you know, was back home in Chicago for, you know, the first half of the season, not really talking to anybody. But I mean, to me, that's kind of to be expected when you're when you can't even shoot basketball.
Being with his family, I think that's making it's this classic Buck fan paranoia,
right? And he's a little bit kind of disengaged as a person,
right?
He comes off that way anyway,
yeah.
That he's just kind of aloof,
right?
And you know, so I don't know how much I read into that, but obviously, I think that this does mean that Jabari Parker is probably more in the Bucks' future plans than we probably had originally anticipated.
That's a great point.
So because clearly, if that is true, to get rid of Kidd means you want Jabari's best interests for him.
Right. And to say that, I think you can still be cool with somebody and behind his back be like, fuck this guy. I don't want to fucking play with him. I don't want to work with him. He's an asshole. Like, that happens in day-to-day life.
Yeah.
You
I mean, these are human beings. You know? See people somebody, tend to forget that.
Right, exactly. Absolutely. You see somebody at the bar, and you might dap them up and be like, oh, hey, what's up, man? But then they leave the bar, or you go to another bar, and you're like, God, that person's a prick.
Can't believe I saw that guy.
Yeah, something. Oh, you're like, yeah, man, wow. Of course, classic so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
Classic Brad.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and then, you know, I'm sure that more leaks will come out, and you've already heard enough stuff, too, that Jason Kidd is... you know, was arrogant. And there was, you know, Woj had that right away, I guess, after his tweet about the firing, was that there was some just, some general just disconnect between him and ownership and, you know, players and everything. So
right, the frame of the relationship.
And certainly him not getting any front office power this offseason, I think, showed that the disconnect was beginning or well underway at that point, because... you know, this time last year, we were sitting here probably saying, well, I don't mind Jason Kidd. I know we were saying this. I don't mind Jason Kidd as the coach, as long as he's not getting his grubby mitts all over the player personnel.
Right. Exactly.
And now, you know, looking back on it, that probably was the case.
Right. Oh,
and
yeah.
I Absolutely. Mean, where would we be if it weren't for Jason Kidd? Probably have Bobby Portis, right?
Yeah.
Probably have, you know, maybe not DJ Wilson.
Yes.
We don't know.
So the other part of this.
But now I think that there's going to be, at least for this season, for this upcoming trade deadline, we hope there's going to be a little more of a lateral, you know, alignment in the front office and ownership, and because you know Joe Prunty's not gonna, you know, swing his dick
right
on player person. He's just gonna come do his job, coach. That's what he knows how to do.
And I think the thing with Prunty is he is from San Antonio. You know, I heard today that someone called him a kid clone, and I think that is not accurate at all.
No.
I think that is far from accurate. I know San Antonio is dealing with their own shit, but I guarantee you Pruntney's reached out to Greg Popovich and said, and Brett Brown and a couple of the other guys who have Spurs background, be like, hey, what do you think? What would you do with this team? How would you address this roster? What type of things were you seeing? You know, we saw some little things. I mean, the fact that Thon Maker only got 9 minutes, and my new favorite player, Marshall Plumlee,
he's just so goofy.
Yeah, but he's different than the other Plumlee. I don't think people realize that. Like he was like a ROTC guy. Like Miles is a fuck up. Like Miles just goes out and gets drunk and hangs out and just lives the life. Like you know, Marshall's kind of like a serious dude. Like, and he means business.
Oh, he's out there. He's not fucking around when he's out there. No,
exactly.
Question. That's obvious.
Which
is kind of what the Bucks needed.
Absolutely, they needed. So I don't know if he's like the solution, but he's a nice guy. So back to Prunty. you know, I think he's going to just do his job, and I think there are going to be different things, and I do think he's going to play around with some things. I think you're going to see some Rashad Vaughn minutes. I think you're going to see some Sean Kilpatrick minutes. I think Prunty's going to know who he has. I think I did worry, like, I was like, whoa, Jason Terry got 13 minutes, but I think it's a guy you're comfortable with, and it was a no Giannis situation.
Yeah.
And the fact that Malcolm Brogdon felt confident enough to just have a day.
He was amazing.
Yeah, the best. And
that's like the best game he's ever played.
And so you wonder about the whole kid thing. About,
I mean, he scored he scored 32. He shut down Devin Booker.
And he only shot the ball 13 times.
Wow.
So
a lot of free throws.
Right. But that's an incredible line.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, I think, 10 in the fourth quarter. So Malcolm Brogdon felt more comfortable the first game that kid wasn't there. And he works with Prunty a lot. They have a really good relationship. So he felt confident that he wasn't taking shots that he shouldn't, or that he was going to get berated for. And it's clear to me that was there.
Yeah, I think that's the case too, that Malcolm, something was going on with Kidd, I think, and maybe the whole trade and everything. Maybe he thought Kidd was trying to trade him.
Or maybe that Kidd never consoled him, never got him on, just said deal with it and go forward, instead of like pulling him aside and like being like, hey, look, you're still the rookie of the year. You're still one of our core players. We just need to add help in the perimeter. It's going to take us a while. It just seemed like Kidd was an asshole all the time.
Yeah.
He didn't seem like he had a compassionate bone in his body. He was okay to work with Giannis, but it was just about basketball things. You never heard one player say, Jason Kidd taught me any life skills.
Right.
And you think about all these young guys, and how did he not teach any life skills? Now, granted, is he the type of guy to teach about life skills as someone who adds domestic violence and he's cheated on his wives? Should he be one to talk about that stuff?
No.
Not really. But still, you can still be a sage older person and provide insight to somebody younger, even if you've had past transgressions.
Yeah. Yeah, not necessarily the type to do that. He's, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't.
You know, and I just would like to see Malcolm be able to, you know, be freed.
Yeah, I think he has. And can I?
Because he's such a good player. Like, I mean, it's, you know, if there's honestly one guy besides Giannis that I want here long term, I think it's probably Malcolm Brogdon.
Right, because he's he does it all on the court. He is a, you know, we talk about it in baseball, and we'll talk about a 5-tool player later. He's a 5-tool player.
Right, he's 6'5". Excuse me, wingspan. He's almost redefined his body.
Yeah, like he put on a ton of weight.
Since the open scrimmage in October, first weekend of October, he looked different. Like he looked like he had worked on his body in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he can shoot. I know his 3-pointer disappeared a little bit for a while, but it seems to be coming back around. But he's still a threat on the court to shoot. So I mean, if there's, you know, obviously Middleton, you know, he's fine, whatever. He's kind of an empty stats kind of guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, and Bledsoe, I think Bledsoe does a lot of gritty stuff, but he's older, and you never know what his situation will be.
He has some injury stuff, too.
Sure. And matter of fact, I'm surprised he hasn't sat any games.
Yeah, we'll do a little knock on wood there.
Yeah, right.
So,
no kidding.
So I did want to offer something about the front office, not to take us back on that topic, but a kind of an interesting, and you can tell me if it's a stretch, if it's a reach. But have you noticed that Mark Lazary has really been nowhere to be seen?
Yeah, I've noticed that.
And
I think it's because of the way the offseason was.
Oh, see,
where because it came out that, you know, 5 years Eden's is supposed to have the team, 5 years somebody else, and then 5 years the other guy or something like that. They're supposed to be the main, because the NBA mandates you have like the majority owner, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, we're taking turns. So I think it's Eden's turn.
So, okay.
Lazary has kind of fucked off.
All right, so that's one side of it. My take would have been that he was implicated in the Harvey Weinstein lawsuit. That was a huge deal. He was on that board, and he's taken a step back. He's laying low for those particular reasons.
That could be.
And so he's maybe less involved with the day-to-day, even more because of it. So add on the whole 5-year thing, and on top of it, he's like, right now is not time for me to be in the public eye. I don't want to answer questions about this. So I'm just gonna stay completely ground level. I'll let my kid do his thing, but that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, he can speak for me.
That could be. I mean, that's probably the other part of it. Yeah. I mean, honestly, And anytime you're in the public eye, you're going to have a chance of, you know, getting run down for questioning right. and stuff like that.
And so maybe because he's not as connected anymore, like Kid and him were boys. And so now it's like he's hearing it all secondhand from Alex, from Wes, so he's from Jamie. Like, and he's like, okay, yeah, go ahead. Do it.
He's like, you fired Kid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He gets out of one of his high stakes.
And Alex is like, I just couldn't take these sons of bitches on Twitter anymore. Yeah.
I love that from our guy Eric, who's like, oh, now you can all change out of your weird avatars.
That's true. I was thinking about that today. We need to get that on shirts, though.
Get a fire.
Honestly, say this didn't happen.
Yeah.
It would have gotten to that point where there would have been a sect of Bucks fans that would have printed shirts and probably had filled up a whole section with those.
Yeah, we probably missed out on opportunity. We're not there yet from a merchandising standpoint, but at some point I'd like to think that we'd be like Barstool and can flip around t-shirts. Because if this was Barstool, if Barstool had a Milwaukee section, they would have had a Fire Kid shirt out the minute that Avatar came out. They would have had it on a t-shirt, and they would have sold a ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'd be like, what do I do with this Fire Kid t-shirt after, like, 2 months?
I guess
it's still a keepsake.
Still just wear it to the gym and shit? I don't know.
Wear it to
open gym, wear it to pick up games.
So one guy we haven't really talked a ton about is Giannis, and I like to think that some of this stuff about him being devastated, some of this, it's all overblown.
Yeah.
I think it's just a classic.
I agree.
He's a star player who has the spotlight on him. So, and then Jason Kidd leaks his private conversation and it becomes a thing.
Yeah, and who knows how much truth there was in that conversation, too.
Right.
That's all part of the Jason Kidd media rehab tour.
Right.
And that was the beginning of it.
Absolutely. That was the launch. And it'll be very interesting to see what Giannis says today.
It's just like, you know, Giannis was, quote, devastated when Hammond left.
Yeah.
Because he was the first guy to draft him. Totally understandable. But, you know, time goes on. He'll get over it. And then he was devastated when they traded Michael Carter Williams. That was his boy. Well, but he knows this as well as you and I do that Michael Carter Williams sucks.
Right. Fake tough guy. First ever Snow Tap. Daily Tap Fake Tough Guy Award.
Yeah.
We're taking nominations for this week. So.
Michael Carter Williams, not good. And,
not good.
I think Giannis knows that.
Good.
And you can't tell me that he couldn't tell that Jason Kidd was had his bags
packed.
Well,
like, look at the Utah game.
Yeah.
I mean, he got frustrated in the Utah game and gets mad at Sweeney because things weren't working.
Yeah.
And that was probably, I'm sure there are moments.
And I bet you he wanted to scream at Jason Kidd, but he didn't. He screamed at the assistant.
And if we're going to keep, like,
who is his, that's really his guy.
Right. And if we're going to keep puzzle piecing this season together, this whole timeline, Bucks get blown out in Miami, look like complete shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Giannis does it literally all by himself, gets 27 and 20, and gives this ray of light hope that says, okay, I did my part. Now you coach your part and you keep your job and we're good and mm-hmm. we can live this. Because the other part of this whole why it was done now, to bring it back to that, the Bucks have a very easy schedule upcoming. So if the Bucks got hot, you couldn't fire Kidd.
Yeah.
And then you're fucked. And then you're legitimately fucked. So the time was
Because then you would have been like, had 30 wins at the All-Star break, you would have been like 30 and, you know, 24 or 25 or something.
Yeah.
At the All-Star break. And then it would have been like, everything's okay, right? Yeah.
Right.
I see what you're saying for sure there. So
yeah.
That does sort of, well, I mean, I think that was part of the timeline.
Yeah.
Is that you get Prunty to do his thing and get his mark on this team. And they have, like you said, a pretty easy schedule the next couple of weeks. Sort of get their feet underneath him, maybe play some lesser opponents.
Right.
Get rolling.
Maybe actually beat Chicago. We'll be in the building.
Yes,
by
we
the
will
way.
Be. The Snowtap crew heading down to the United Center.
Snowtap goes to Chicago.
Yep.
Should be fun.
It will be fun. I'm pumped.
I am too.
I mean, I'm happy now. It honestly, it just like I was texting you this morning that my Bucks depression had really started, I think, at the Indy blowout.
Yeah.
Was it last Monday or 2 Mondays ago?
Yep.
Where they just were never in that game and just had never, they just were blown out from word one, you know,
yep.
in that game. And that's when it really, I mean, it was almost getting to the point here where it was like, I don't even want to watch a game. Just, I need to just ignore a game and see what happens. And you know me, I can't.
Right.
So it's like, you know, and I hate to liken it to, but it's like being almost like a drug addict. It's like, you know, it's bad for you. You know, it hurts your personality. Well, you just can't stop, you know?
And it's like that with a lot of teams.
But
you know?
Now it's like I can at least be, I guess, happy watching a game. And
there,
just,
there were those Brewer teams too where it was like, how are they going to fuck this up? How are they going to screw this up tonight?
The Ken Maka years?
Yeah, the Ken Maka years, some of the Renicky stuff. I mean, it happens. So I don't blame you for that. And so with Giannis, like, I think these games are, this Brooklyn-Chicago stretch is nice for him because this is a good way, even Philly too, these are teams that have no answer for him. Mm-hmm. And he can just kind of get his feet wet again and start playing basketball and just doing the damn thing.
Yeah.
So.
Like, well, back to my Bucks depression too. It was at the point where it was like, well, we're not going to win this game.
Yeah, well, this thing's fucked.
Just going every day you wake up, it's like, we're probably not going to win tonight, even though you're playing Orlando.
Yep.
And it's like, you know.
Right.
When's the terrible quarter going to come and you're going to lose the game?
Nothing was safe. And now you hope that some of that changes. I think.
And granted, they certainly didn't. I mean, Phoenix was a struggle.
Yeah, but that was, I think, partly.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're distracted and it's
out.
A weird.
Giannis being out.
It was a very weird day.
I take that for
granted. I know, but I'm just listen to me.
Sure.
That, I mean, it, you know, it wasn't a struggle, but they didn't have a terrible quarter.
Nope.
You know, and I actually didn't watch the first half. But
they struggled a little bit in the first quarter, but just.
Yeah, I know. They got down a little bit early.
Yeah.
But, you know, Troy Daniels obviously kept them in that game.
So, Troy Daniels.
Yeah, I'd take Troy Daniels.
Yeah, why not?
So, your irrational confidence guy off
totally.
The bench to just launch threes from 30 feet and make them?
He just jacks.
That's what he does.
I know.
I mean, you're not getting Wayne Ellington, so you need to get or Bellinelli. No. Maybe, but.
Yeah, you're stuck on Bellinelli. He just doesn't do a ton. He doesn't.
I mean, I'm just telling you, he's going to get more than you think. So
that's fine.
Anyway.
So Bucks play Brooklyn on Friday. We'll see what comes of that. And then
I'll ask you a question.
Sure.
And I know I wanted to get to this.
Yeah.
Let's talk dreamland here. Bucks get to 50 wins this year.
Okay.
That means they have to go 26-10 the rest of the way.
Okay. Wow.
Which isn't impossible, but
no,
highly unlikely.
Yeah, probably.
To win 26 out of 36.
Yeah, that would be quite a stretch to finish the season.
Yeah. Does Joe Prunty keep his job next year?
I think he.
Do they remove the interim tag?
I think he at least fights for it. If they look really good, if Joe Prunty gets them to the Eastern Conference Finals, he'll at least have a 2-year, 3-year job. No question.
If they win a series, yeah.
If they win a series, I think there is a who can we get?
Okay, yeah. If they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think it's guaranteed.
Because I'm starting, and maybe
that's the goal.
And maybe this is foolish of me, and maybe I shouldn't do this, but I'm a dreamer too. If you're telling me that I could have Joe Prunty or I could have Rick Carlisle. I'm taking Rick Carlisle every day.
Regardless, yeah.
And I know you're like, that's kind of an obscure poll.
And the other thing too,
Rick Carlisle go? Rick Carlisle is never going to get fired by the Mavericks, but it's going to be a while for him to rebuild. So why wouldn't you?
I think Cubes and Carlisle are two peas in a pod. So yeah.
Right, exactly. But if Carlisle's like...
The other thing too, though... is if the Bucks do go to the Eastern Conference Finals, that'll make the job even more enticing.
Right.
Than it already is.
Yes.
To candidates.
And I think there are only about three guys
who... We haven't even talked about who we might want.
Right. Well, I think it's a silly season. You know, we're going to hear so many rumors. Every coach is going to put their name in the bucket. There is going to be rumors about everybody. I already dispelled a couple on Daily Tap, Mark Jackson, and a couple... Get the fuck out of here.
Can't have Mark Jackson.
Absolutely not.
My rule... I've told you this. My rule on retreads is if they haven't won a championship, I don't want them.
So
if they're old as shit or haven't coached in, you know, 10, 15, 20 years.
The only three that I see as untouchable across the league that would not leave their current position are Steve Kerr, Brad Stevens, Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra only because of the Miami thing.
Greg Popovich.
Oh, Popovich too.
Rick Carlisle.
No, I don't think I think Carlisle you could get. He's coaching a lame duck team. Same with Budenholzer.
Correct.
Budenholzer.
I'd take
guy.
Either of those guys.
Right. Budenholzer, you know, you could almost pitch Prunty like, hey, stay on.
I think Carlisle's from Illinois, too.
Yeah, Carlisle coached in Indiana. Like I said.
He's an upper Midwest guy.
Tibbs might be another guy who, because he has like GM control. Another guy who's.
Stan Van's probably still stuck.
Fuck Stan Van. I don't want Stan
Van. I don't either. I'm just saying that he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. So there are guys. Brett Brown might be another who wouldn't take the jump since he started this thing in Philly. Right. Might as well finish it. So I think there are, you know, but that's the thing. That's what I mean is like the amount of guys that could potentially want this job are going to be astronomical. And whoever gets it, you know, it's a great job, and they have a ton of pressure going at to them in the start. And you did also want to mention, you know, who does the Bucks vitriol turn to? I don't know.
I think the owners are always going to be. I mean, you'll never meet a sports fan that likes their owners.
I almost think that's a topic of let's talk about it in 2 weeks and see where the team is, see what's going on. If they're on a heater, I don't think anyone's mad at the players. But if they keep doing this inconsistency, I'm sure Chris Middleton becomes into the crossfires. I think more so than anyone else. But if they're winning, Jabari Parker comes back, everything's good, then maybe it's just a sort of a friendly fire, and we can be happy for a little while until something makes us mad.
Mm-hmm.
Until a trade happens, and it's like, oh, fuck everybody.
Yeah.
Because that's Bucks fans. Bucks fans can never fully embrace happiness. It's why you have a Nellis Bucks account.
Right. It is. I mean,
there's just too much stuff that has happened where you can't trust the Bucks. I mean, there was that article, I think, written last week or the week prior about how untrustworthy the Bucks have been. Like, whenever you just trust them, they go around and break your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, it happens.
Lose to the Bulls.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Bucks have 3 games and 4 nights upcoming. No, is it 3 games and 4 nights?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
They play Friday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah,
again.
It's tough little stretch. So, hopefully they can get that. You'd love to see all three, but if go two out of three, and especially win that one in Chicago and we're there. I've seen the Bucks lose 5 times this year already. So if I could just see one, it would be one win, it would be nice.
Yeah. So, especially when you're in a road building.
Yeah.
That's when you're real obnoxious.
Absolutely. And
trust me, I gotta listen to those road fans when I go to games. They're right behind us.
Yep.
It's terrible.
Yeah, and let me tell you, Chris Dunn, you better get healed up from that concussion so he can go get dunked on by Chris Middleton. Because remember, they had a little skirmish after the game last time around, the Bulls and Bucks met. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Should be a good one in the UC as well as the one on Friday night. So where are we moving next? Are we going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl? We should probably stick at the NBA, just in the craziness of the fact that literally everything has gone sideways. Like, it's got sideways to the point where I usually scroll my phone before we start just in case, like, something breaks and we've missed it, like, whatever. And I saw, like, Andre Drummond tweet out something, like, aggressive. Like, and the Pistons have lost 5 straight. I was like, fuck. Is Andre Drummond upset? And he got snubbed from the All-Star.
Right.
So I was like, oh, that's right. They picked the reserves tonight and he didn't get in. So that's what he's mad about. But that's to where we've got, where literally everything looks bad. You have the Cavs and Love thing. I wrote about it yesterday, Snowtap WI. It's a website about the potential fit for the Bucks. It does, there's a lot of deals that make sense. The question is, would Cleveland actually do it?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm seeing that the Bucks parted ways with a couple of assistant coaches.
Oh.
So, Eric Hughes, namely. Oh. Never heard of the other guy.
Interesting.
Tim Gergerich.
Interesting. I wonder if Prunty wants a couple dudes that he knows that are just kind of hanging out right now.
So. A little bit of minor fallout, little bit of the Jason Kidd firing.
Yep.
Nothing to see here. Please continue.
Yeah.
The Cavs are a mess.
So, yeah, the Cavs are an absolute mess. And I don't know if the only way the Cavs...
Kevin Love sits out. They give up 148 points.
The only way the Cavs trade Kevin Love to the Bucks is if they 100% know LeBron James is no longer going to be on this team next year. We want to get a guy like...
Well, they never will.
They want to get a guy like Chris Middleton because he's a classic. He puts up points on a bad team. I've said that for a couple weeks now.
Never disappears in big games.
Exactly. That's exactly Chris Middleton. So it's like he would be perfect on a rebuilding team, and then you get a draft pick from the Bucks, get Matthew Dellavedova back, who LeBron loves, and everything's good. And the money works. It makes sense.
Middleton,
for
a pick
thing.
In Delhi for Love?
Yes. It matches up nearly money to money.
Sign me up.
I think Love makes $23 million. I think that's $25 million off
then
the
Bucks. Then you could have Love as your five.
Yes. You would play a small lineup that has Love as your center, Jabari at the four, Giannis at the three.
Well, Giannis is a four.
Brogdon as your two, and Bledsoe as your one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fantastic lineup.
I like that a lot. I mean, you obviously, Kevin Love's a great three-point shooter, a great rebounder. He just does. He would fill plenty of needs.
Right. And you have John Henson coming off the bench, giving valuable bench minutes as a backup center. And I think that's John's had a great year, I think, for all things considered.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes. Right. I mean, he's obviously, you know, Bucks fans don't like him, but he does what he can.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
got limitations.
He's serviceable. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, he is.
So other people are a mess.
Thon is not.
No. You got Charlotte and Portland with point guard troubles with Kemba and Dame both. Kemba, it gets leaked that the Hornets are looking to trade him. Hornets are having a really bad year. Kemba's kind of their face.
They Michael just Jordan wanna, scrambles just and says restart. They're not going to trade him.
Right. And then Portland, Dame talked to the owner, kind of where's the future of the Blazers. Blazers have a ton of bad contracts. They're really in no position to sign anybody.
Yeah, they're in no man's land.
And they're in a really tough spot.
They gave a horrible contract to Evan Turner.
So if you're the Bucks right now, if you're John Horst, and now you're looking at, you've moved on from Jason Kidd, are you like, man, I wish I didn't trade Eric Bledsoe. I didn't trade for Eric Bledsoe because I could have had Dame or Kemba?
No.
Okay.
I'm good on Eric Bledsoe.
So am I. I'm more just asking out of curiosity.
I mean, I guess, you know, if Lillard really is available, I know there's been whispers for the last like year or so that he could be gone somewhere. But
and I think the thing with you'd have to look.
Kemba's just such a ball hog. It's crazy.
Great point. That was going to be my point.
And like Lillard can be too.
The usage on Kemba, especially late game, you know, since the UConn days, like he just has.
That's just how he is. I mean, you can't take the New York out of the kid, right?
Right. And Kemba's another guy who could be a classic.
That's such a Marcus Johnson thing to say.
hey, shout out to Marcus.
Point out where guys, Gus and Marcus. Oh, Kyle Lowry, the king in North Philly. Like nobody gives a fuck, Marcus. Why don't you shut up and get off the broadcast? I was blaming him for losses too.
Wow, that was aggressive. I didn't expect that.
Well, he always gets like the Raptors games, and those are the most frustrating
you're
games.
About, you're talking about Gus. You're not talking about Marcus.
Oh,
you said get out of here, Marcus.
Yeah, I meant Gus.
Do you want to rephrase? Get out of here, Gus?
Yeah.
All right.
I just said, I mean, I don't know.
It's okay. Gus is going to work Thursday night football for the NFL, and then he's not going to be involved in anything Bucks probably.
Good.
That's a potential rumor.
But we still have to find a replacement then. Jim Paschke.
Do it. I wish Brian Anderson would do it. He doesn't want to do it. He wants to. He likes having a family.
He likes his freelance in the offseason.
Yeah, he likes freelancing in the offseason.
I don't blame him, man. That's brutal grind in baseball season.
I know. I get why he doesn't want to do it. He likes baseball more than basketball and just would rather stick to it. I understand.
He'd rather yuck it up with The Rock.
Yeah, I would too. They probably I have to think they have at least like three Miller Lights in the and some more than others.
A little lubed up after the game.
No, I do because like I've always thought that announcers drink during games, and then like Joe Buck was on Part of My Take and said what I started doing a couple years ago and stopped taking myself so seriously was I'd have one Budweiser before every game, just one, just to get a little loose. And one time I was doing it. And Aikman goes, Joe, are you drinking? I go, yeah, man. You want a beer? and so it's become like tradition that Aikman and Buck have a beer before every game.
Wow.
So I love that. Actually, it was like, okay, that's cool. So then I'm like, how many more announcers like have beers beforehand?
Depends on how far in advance. I mean, you're talking like right before the camera's going.
Yeah, he's saying right before the game. He's
just
like
walks in the press box with a beer and
pregame brew.
Yeah, I like that.
I love the
probably book. Has another one at half.
Yeah. Well, he said only one. So, but you never know.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. So, anyways, that deterred us a little bit. But yeah, no. I don't even know what we're talking about.
We just got so free flowing here.
Yeah, we did. We're rolling. Like this is good podcast.
Started with Kevin Love and
Kevin. We had to Kevin Love. Yeah, just that you wouldn't trade for Dame or Kemba.
Right.
That Kemba was a ball hog. Yeah, I think those guys are just. I agree with you. I'm with you there.
I don't think Dame's getting traded. So.
No, I don't think so either. We'll see what they do with the Blazers. Blazers need to do something. We'll see what they should or get.
I mean,
off
for the all for all the crap that the Bucks get about their financial situation, they really don't have any bad contracts.
No.
In the grand scheme of things.
Yes.
You know, we don't have an Evan Turner who's making like, who's probably got 2 years after this at like $20 million a year.
Oh, yeah. Evan's just chilling.
So, you know, there's Deli. Yeah, he's not the greatest contract, but I feel like he could be a good filler somewhere.
Yeah.
Snell's not a great contract, really. I like Tony Snell, but he's not probably not worth what he's getting for the length.
No, that was a little.
So that's going to be trouble probably in the next year or so.
So, and then the whole Kawhi thing, Kawhi saying he wants out, and that came from Jalen Rose, and Jalen Rose is about as well connected as connected gets. So when Jalen Rose says something, you kind of listen. I loved him also calling Paul Pierce petty. That was sneaky great from Jalen Rose. But yeah, no, I don't know where the Kawhi stuff, and I know there'll be some Kawhi to the Bucks stuff that'll come up, and I'm sure. But that's one of those just
I would give them whatever they wanted.
Let's all wait and see. Let's all just sort of take it easy, see what happens. Let's not get too excited. And if it does happen, I mean, yeah, it would be amazing. Giannis and Kawhi on the same roster is a damn near orgasmic. Mm-hmm. It is orgasmic. It's not damn near. It is. And then, yeah, there's just been other weird NBA stuff. LeBron congratulating himself on Instagram was an odd move, to say the least. But
just congratulating him on how far he came.
Yeah. Congrats, young Bron. Like, what are you doing? Like, sometimes LeBron is the most self-aware athlete, and sometimes he's the least self-aware athlete. It's sort of like just I don't even know.
He's a weirdo.
Oh yeah, he's a big time weirdo. Also, the Wizards are a complete mess, which doesn't bum me out.
No, it doesn't surprise me.
The fact that JJ Barea said no one likes you was a sneaky great dick. Paul calls him a midget. He's like, yeah, well, no one likes you. It doesn't look like anyone on your team actually likes you. Like, that's so brutal. That's such a mean thing to say.
It is. It's such like such a JJ Barea thing.
Oh yeah, such a short guy thing. Oh yeah, nobody likes you.
It's such like a little Giants or Mighty Ducks chirp.
Yeah. Hey, did you see Mighty Ducks? They might make a TV show out of that.
Really?
Yeah. I'm kind of in on it. I said that on the Daily Tap yesterday. I was in on the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, it's insanity.
Okay, so let's dance on the Vikings grave real quick because we're already at 41. I see that. Yep. But I want to dance on the Vikings fans' graves. I love it. I already did it. I already did it on Monday. But man, does it feel good that the Vikings are in the Super Bowl?
All day, I wanted to text you and be like, "I'm going to come over. We're going to film your electric chair when the Vikings win."
I
they scored first.
Yeah. I went over to Morgan's, and then I was in the car when Patrick Robinson intercepted, and I turned up Kevin Harland, and then I Snapchatted "Fly Eagles, fly, motherfucker!" as I'm riding down the highway.
That was the pick six.
Yeah. I was so jacked, and then it just kept happening. And
I watched way too much football on Sunday.
And Big Dick Nick Foles did the thing, and by the way, that got confirmed because I guess Lane Johnson and a couple other guys call him Footlong in the locker room. So that's like a legit
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah. And Nick Foles was great. I mean, just to watch them dissect the Vikings was so enjoyable. It was like, it was just a luscious.
It was just a good old woodshed.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Case Keenum finally came back down to earth.
How about
His numbers, his yardage isn't terrible, but he had two picks.
And a fumble.
I mean, that turnovers killed him.
Yep. Doug Gottlieb with
the defense was obviously human.
Doug Gottlieb cashing those checks, those hot take checks, saying he would have put in Sam Bradford. That was ridiculous. Like, well,
I mean, it crossed my mind. It would have been, you know, I don't think I would have done it, but you know, I'm surprised that take didn't come up.
Yeah. So,
or I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and it will be interesting to see what do you think the Vikings do at quarterback? Do you think they go?
I don't even want to answer that question. I'm glad it's not my decision.
Hell yeah.
We've talked about it multiple times. It's just a rough situation. Yeah. I think you try to get Keenum on a reasonable contract.
Yeah. If there are two guys that are shitheads that are doing a Vikings podcast this week and are just depressed as all hell, I'm sure they're probably too. Like, we don't want to talk about it. Let's just talk about the season. Let's reflect on the good times. Let's regret the fact that we're going to have mass holes and Philly fans just all on our grill for a week in Minneapolis.
I just think that I don't think Sam Bradford's in the equation.
No.
I don't think I would trust Teddy Bridgewater. He hasn't done enough.
Neither.
He had a major knee injury, you know.
Yeah. I think it's sad, but you have to let Teddy go and you draft a quarterback early.
I think you draft a quarterback, maybe franchise Keenum.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, there are things to do. So, yes, it was enjoyable.
But then you're paying Case Keenum, you know, $20 million a year or whatever.
And then
just the 1 year.
And then we nearly got the Jaguars in there. We nearly got Media Day with Jalen Ramsey.
Should have been.
And it didn't happen. Patriots did the Patriot thing. And
yeah, that was just...
It was all...
The game was over on that 3rd and 18.
Right.
When they completed that 3rd and 18.
Yeah, that was phenomenal.
Part of that 85-yard drive, which went a lot quicker than I, you know... It was like 3rd and 18, and then 15-yard play, 15-yard play, 15-yard play, touchdown.
And the Jaguars went into the McCarthy playbook of playoff coaching. They coached very scared in that second half. When they took the knee, I mean, I thought, as others have said, I thought it was over. I was like, oh, man, you're not going to regret that. Not going to regret taking a knee with two timeouts. Like
with 50 seconds left.
Yeah. And apparently they can get rid of Bortles before March 14th and free up like $19 million, which would lead them to sign a guy like Alex Smith, Kirk Cousins, one of the big name free agents. So keep an eye out for that.
I still can't believe the Redskins haven't long term signed Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, if the Jaguars get Kirk Cousins, they will be a Super Bowl favorite. They won't maybe be the top favorite because there's still New England, but that would be a huge addition.
There's just so much that can go wrong in an NFL season.
Oh, I know. That's the thing. It's like, do the Jaguars have legit?
Like the Vikings, it's like they might not be back.
Well, and that's the other thing about the Vikings is we've seen this before with the Vikings and the Bears is whenever they get that first seed and they have to play the big boys in the other sides of the division, they get their asses kicked and then they regress. It's happened multiple times.
Happens to a lot of teams.
And the Vikings also stayed healthy as shit all year. That defense was
well. Jacksonville too.
Yeah, and same with Jacksonville. You're right. And now Jacksonville plays in a much tougher AFC South with a coach who's going to actually use Marcus Mariota the right way. Deshaun Watson comes back with Nuke Hopkins. You have Andrew Luck probably back in Indy. Maybe Indy might still take some time, but if Andrew Luck is Andrew Luck again, he can will a team to 8 or 9 wins.
Yeah.
So that's it's a way better division than it's been in years past.
Right.
So, yeah, and let's wrap up with Brewers. The Brewers stuff, it's crazy. I feel like it's one big chess match. It's like the scene in The Office, you know, when everyone does the finger guns and it's like, whoa, oh, I just pulled out my headphones. But it's like when everyone does the finger guns and they're like, is Michael, Andy, and Dwight, and who's going to make the first move? And I feel like that's literally all of Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah.
It's like we're just waiting to see what happens.
You got Scott Boras saying stuff too, I think.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's frustrated. Everyone's mad. But just one move needs to happen, and I think a domino effect is going to occur. And see, this is why like things like the Daily Tap were created, because if the Brewers do get Christian Yelich this afternoon or something like that, we're going to talk about it tomorrow and we'll be fine instead of waiting a week and being like, oh, classic podcast curse. We don't we rarely get screwed by this. I've only got screwed twice so far. It was when Goody got hired. I was an hour late and I taped before the Rockets Clippers fight. But I didn't expect that. It was 12:30 at night on like it's a Tuesday or Monday. I don't know. It wasn't my fault. So anyways, yes, they are potentially looking at Christian Yelich. They have an offer out to Yu Darvish. The Brewers aren't fucking.
They're getting nuts.
As a great Bobby Knight once said, I'm not here to fuck around. You maybe, but I'm not. And that is exactly what David Stearns is doing. And he is not afraid to show his cards. And the Brewers are getting themselves out there. They want to compete with the Cubs and the Cardinals, and they are trying to do it in the best Brewer way possible. And so we'll see if things happen. We'll see what
I think
kind
my
of...
excitement level would go up drastically if you get a Yelich and another starter for sure.
What a week for Milwaukee sports. If the Brewers make some deals this week and then you get the kid firing, Brewers are making deals to make it an exciting summer.
You can quit talking about the Packers from every different angle.
Absolutely.
Of the same question.
Hey, man, you got to get some takes out. That's what we've been doing. We're doing look forward to our free agent features on SnowTap WI. Okay, so next week I think we might try to have Murph on to talk about the Super Bowl. Maybe talk some prop bets. Maybe just talk to him. It's been a while. We owe him. He sends us enough fake trades where he might as well pitch us a couple online. Maybe we'll do like a Shark Tank of the best fake trades. So anyways, you can find us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Google Play. Hope to get a couple more of those. For Mitch, I'm Charlie. You guys have a good week, Tappers. We'll talk next week.
See ya.
See ya.